One LP TV station is debating whether video directed towards cats can be considered as local programming. The FCC announces another $21 million in funding to help close the homework gap. And a New York man was caught playing with his radio on the wrong frequency. All that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, Beachy Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Wireless Wednesday, June 14, 2023. It was a pretty quiet day at the FCC, but here's what's going on. Reply comments were received in MB Docket 23-126, which implements the Low Power Protection Act. The legislation was passed by Congress earlier this year that gives an opportunity for low-power TV stations in markets with less than 95,000 television households to be able to obtain Class A status, which affords primary status to protect them from future displacement. The Low Power TV Broadcasters Association continues to support the use of metropolitan and micropolitan statistical areas as an alternative method to define television markets for LPTV stations, as opposed to using the Nielsen Designated Market Areas, or DMAs. In their comments, they oppose the use of ComScore as an alternative method, calling it proprietary and requiring payment for access. They also oppose any regulations that would strip the Class A status from any station in situations where, at no fault of the station, there are changes in the market, such as a change in market boundaries or an increase in television households above the 95,000 threshold. They stated that such a regulation would be fundamentally and capricious and undermine the future economic viability of the stations. They also oppose the NAB's suggestion that Class A stations should be required to make annual reports to recertify their eligibility along the line of local programming and hours of operation. Radio Communications Corporation opposes the metropolitan statistical areas and supports the use of ComScore for market definition as an alternative to Nielsen. RCC also took issue at NAB's suggestion of periodic program reports, calling the concept of such reports as unconstitutional. According to RCC, the NAB's theory of Class A programming content qualification means that programming created by a licensee pointing a camera at a bird feeder outside the back door of its studio for 3 hours a week would qualify as local programming, as opposed to state or national political coverage or news programming, which would be disqualifying. To qualify the first issue, the attorney for RCC, Timothy Welch, admits that he occasionally watches bird feeder videos on the internet with his cat. In support of his argument, he includes a picture of his cat, Mean Mr. Mustard, watching the aforementioned video programming format. At the time of this recording, there were no reply comments from the NAB. REC did file reply comments, and those comments were discussed on yesterday's episode. The FCC has announced that it is committing over $21 million in a new funding round through the Emergency Connectivity Fund program, which provides digital services for students across the country. Today's funding announcement will support 5 school districts and 3 schools in Georgia, Minnesota, Nevada, New York, Texas, and Wisconsin. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel states that this program is making important progress in the FCC's ongoing work to close the homework gap. So far, the program has helped over 17 million students with approximately $6.7 billion in funding. To date, the program has provided support to approximately 11,000 schools and 1,000 libraries. The FCC also announced the formation of a Data and Privacy Protection Task Force. The working group will coordinate across the agency on the rulemaking, enforcement, and public awareness needs in the privacy and data protection sectors, and will cover subjects such as data breaches and supply chain vulnerabilities involving third-party vendors that service regulated communications providers. Chair Rosenworcel says that this team of FCC experts will lead their efforts to protect consumer privacy. Hey, it's Michi, and you know, YouTube is a great place for cat videos, but it's also a great place for FCC Today. And just a reminder, if you're listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be reminded of future content, both oral and visual. Then, once again, thanks for your support. The FCC has announced that since Friday evening, the agency's Universal Licensing System, Tower Construction Notification System, E106 System, and Antenna Structure Registration System have been inoperative. For filings that involve a deadline, the FCC will consider these outage days as non-work days and will eventually announce deadlines for certain filing types when systems are restored. The ULS is used for various Wireless Telecommunications Bureau filings, including the amateur radio service. The Tower Construction and E106 systems are used for historic preservation reviews under a national programmatic agreement with state historic preservation officers. A notice of unlicensed operation and notice of harmful interference has been sent to Stacy Snell of Utica, New York, based on a complaint received by the Herkimer County Office of Emergency Services. FCC Region 1 Field Enforcement investigated interference that was being received on their police dispatch frequency 155.61 megahertz. On March 24, an enforcement agent determined that Snell was making the transmissions from his residence. Such unlicensed operation is in violation of Section 301 of the Communications Act. Snell has 10 days to respond to the notice on the steps that are being taken to prevent future unauthorized operation. In Guam, no significant changes on the status of cell sites from yesterday's report. More cable and wireline customers are getting restored, with the number of subscribers impacted now at 1,984. The FCC has granted Docomo Pacific a six-month waiver from a requirement in Auction 904, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, that requires fund recipients to have a letter of credit from a bank with a Weiss Bank safety rating of B- or better. Docomo states that their current bank, the Bank of Hawaii, has been recently downgraded to a rating below a B-. As Docomo operates in Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands, they stated that they do not have the resources to collaborate with another bank that provides services to the typhoon-affected area. Consistent with past precedents and further compounded by the recent disaster, the FCC has granted a waiver of Section 54.804 C21B until December 6, 2023. The Disaster Information Reporting System remains activated for Guam.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks. Always on at recnet.com. The podcast is available through Podbean, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to this channel. Hit the notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at fcc.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, LPFM, full service, or translator, call 202-621-2355. I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE certified broadcast technologist. Time to go downstairs and pet the cats. Thanks for listening.
REC.